And we are back on Paul Listaphe Behind the Curtain. That fast-paced music you just saw from a recent rehearsal as the cast gets ready to put on the great classic musical Rent, playing up in Highland Park, or actually by the Highland Park Players. It's playing up in the McGrath Performing Arts Center, actually in Wilmette, and it will be there from July 18th to 27th. It's only 2 weekends. You got to get your tickets and do it quick. And if you are a fan of Rent, and most people are, most people, including some of my guests, kind of bit their teeth, if you will, on loving the theater from watching that show or seeing that show for the first time. Let me introduce them to you so we can get right in. I'm going to start with the director of the show because he's got to make everything happen. Travis Monroe Niece. You're not only a director, you're an actor, a screenwriter, and I know you recently directed The Sound of Music, all sorts of great stuff. Obviously, Travis, directing Rent has to be one of the great moments of your career because it's such a classic.
Yeah, it's been a show that I've loved since I found out about theater. It's kind of my gateway into musical theater. So getting the opportunity to direct it now with this cast in particular is such an exciting opportunity.
And great they are. We have some of the leads with us. There are more people. It's an ensemble, lots of people in the show. But let's introduce folks who are joining us. Catherine Rodriguez O'Connor, you play Mimi Marquez. I mean, your background, this is your debut with Highland Park. I know you went to Loyola. I used to be a dean there and used to teach there. And recently did Guys and Dolls over at Music Theater Works. But let's talk about your character. Tell me about Mimi. We know she's HIV positive, and I don't know, you don't look like an erotic dancer, but it's a role, so we can perform. Tell me about Mimi.
Yes, so she is a very vulnerable, bold drug addict and exotic dancer. She's 19 years old, and yeah, she is a very free-spirited character, and she loves to explore and is super adventurous.
Yes, and she plays well in the sandbox with her friends. Stephen Labine joins us, and you play Mark Cohn. What a great name. That was Anthony Rapp, of course, in the original Rent. I've interviewed Anthony. I once asked him, by the way, like, is he sort of tired of all the recognition? He looked and went, no, it's made my career. So he was pretty good with this. But anyway, you yourself, you have performed on theaters. My favorite part of you is you do cruise ships. So bring us on a cruise one day, and we'll get you lunch. But anyway, and theme parks, I know you do that. Tell me about Mark, because we at least know he's a struggling Jewish documentary filmmaker. You also narrate the show.
Yes, he really guides us through the show from his perspective. He's behind that camera trying to find not only a story that he can tell that fulfills his need to tell to be an artist, but also to find himself a little bit in his journey.
And Roberto Monta, you play Roger Davis, another HIV positive character. I'm saying that because in the show that becomes important. And certainly at the time this was written and performed, I mean, it's still an important issue, but certainly at that time it was critical and critical in the world, critical in the world of when this was written. But tell me a little bit about Roger. By the way, we know you've done Clyde and Bonnie and Clyde, and you played Danny Zuko in Grease. You got the hair for that. But talk to me a little bit about how Roger grapples. I did Grease, by the way, once, but I played Teen Angel, so it was a whole other thing. You're feeling like this HIV diagnosis for you, it really is getting in the way of your career. You want to make a difference in music.
Yeah, so unfortunately, Roger, his ex-girlfriend was the one that had HIV first, and because of the relationship, he contracted as well. And then due for that, his girlfriend actually committed suicide. So he's going through a very difficult time in his life, trying to understand what is happening. He realizes that life is just, a breath of air that can go away very quickly. And he's just trying to live with that and try to do something with his life with the short time that he has left. So it's a very difficult time in his life, and along with his roommate, Mark, and this new girl he meets, Mimi, he just starts to see a new meaning to the life that he's been living.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say in the short time he has left. Fortunately, today, people who are HIV positive usually have a long life ahead of them. So that's why this is in a different time. Travis is the director. Let me come back to you, perhaps a little bit about why Highland Park Players chose Rent, and give us a little bit more. These are all sort of individual. There's so many individual stories going on, but essentially, tell us what Rent is about.
Yeah, I think this show, even though it was written prior and takes place in the first year, early 90s, A lot of the themes are, for better or worse, still very relevant to what's going on today. While we may have had some medical advances in HIV treatment, there's still a lot going on with medical insecurity for people who are experiencing poverty. That's a big aspect of the show as well, is kind of looking at the housing crisis, as well as kind of looking at how a community can come together to help one another and support each other. So while we've got these three that we're talking about now, Mark, Mimi, and Roger, we have a full ensemble of group that is that kind of found family and community of different Bohemian artists in the area. And so even though we have all of these themes that, you know, back then they may look a little bit different today, they're still extremely relevant. And the overall idea of having your community, having your found family to sort of experience those and help you get through them, makes it such a relevant piece to be directing right now.
Stephen, I think one of the reasons this show resonates with young people for sure, everybody, but young people for sure, it's these constant, as Travis is suggesting, these themes, friendship, love, loss, poverty, artistic struggle. In so many ways, young budding actors today kind of live with a lot of that, certainly the artistic struggle part.
It's true, and I think it's what draws a lot of young people to this show, is you see a little bit of the struggle in not only these people, but you find a little of yourself in this person, in that person. It's what drew me to the show, is I want to create art, but there is that struggle that involves you being an artist. And how do I make something that is fulfilling but without sacrificing of myself to survive?
Yeah. I was going to say Mimi, but Catherine, so when you're the role, the thing about this is, talk a little bit about the setting of this. It's the East Village of New York. Again, it's got that, as Travis said, kind of this bohemian feel to it, Alphabet City. How does that shape the story?
Yeah, so in Alphabet City during this time, the protests were crazy. So even just existing as a Latina queer woman, such as Mimi is, was an act of protest in and of itself. And so we see just like how important it is for these people to find happiness and how that is an act of protest in and of itself. They find community within this little family that they find, you know, like their neighbors, whatnot, in this area. Yeah, it's really important, that community, because everyone is against them at this time.
Roberto, since your character wants to kind of write one great song before he leaves the planet, at least talk about the music genres in this film, because there's lots of them. There's soul, there's rock, there's gospel, there's rap. It's kind of every Jonathan Larson, man, he was ahead of his time.
Yes, I mean, the music is what I knew first about this show before knowing the story and seeing any material of it. So the music takes you on a ride from the minute it starts. It's very rock powerful, a lot of strong ballads as well, but it every character has their own kind of vibe to the music. So as you start to meet each character, of course, Roger, being a rock pop artist, he's more rocker. Mimi is as well. And Mark is a little, you know, a little more comedic, a little more funny. And then we have Benny and Angel, who are a little more soulful. So there's a wide variety of music, but it all is very catchy and it all drives the story in a very powerful way.
Yeah, for people who don't know the show Rent, they probably know more of the music than they think. So yeah. Here's a little trivia for everybody. There was a poll quite a while back, but the question was, how popular are the songs in this show? That is, which is the most popular? The first one might be a little bit easy, but let's do a little quizzy here. So, Travis, I'm your director. I'm going to leave you out of this. Well, Roberto, you say music got you onto it. What do you think the most popular show in this song, according to a poll, is?
Seasons of Love?
Absolutely, that's right. That was an easy one. I gave you the easy one. Catherine, not so easy. What's the next one up? Man, maybe this is easy. No, this is going to Catherine. You already won.
I'm going to go Take Me or Leave Me.
No, that would have been good. But I'll bet Stephen knows the next most popular. Think of what the show is based on, and that might give you the answer.
I was going to go with La Vie Boheme.
Yeah, that was the second most popular song. Actually, this one's a little bit tough. Travis, you want to give us a guess on what the third one was?
Oof. Maybe. I mean, I would probably say Take Me or Leave Me as third.
No, it was I'll Cover You.
Okay.
I'll cover you. And light my candle doesn't even make the list. Go figure that out. So, but who knows? Maybe this poll was taken by a bunch of people who didn't see the show. I have no idea. Listen, there's so much more to talk about, and sadly, we're out of time for the show. But can I invite you all to stay on? Because folks who tune in, watch us on Monday or afterwards on WGNRadio.com or on all the other pod platforms, they can hear us continue this great conversation about Rent. Y'all have a little time to stay on with me?
Of course.
Love
Definitely.
it. Let's do it. But for folks leaving us now here on WGN Plus, you don't want to miss Rent. Highland Park Players, it's showing July 18th through 27th only. And you can get tickets at highlandparkplayers.org. Please get your tickets. It's going to be great. HPP does incredible stuff. Well, welcome back to Paul Listed Behind the Curtain, everybody. Continuing my conversation with the cast and director of Rent, playing up at the Highland Park Players at the McGrath Performing Arts Center in Wilmette, but only July 18th to the 27th. So please go to highlandparkplayers.org now. They do incredible stuff up there. I've seen Kinky Boots and just different shows. It's so good that you feel like you're at Broadway in Chicago downtown with the quality of shows that you guys do. And I mean that as an absolute compliment. Travis, let me come to you because there's sort of a tragic element attached to this show, and it involves the playwright, the person who is known for Rent, was also known for Tick, Tick, Boom. But what is it that happened tied to him that apparently the cast learned about, I think, on opening night or very close to it?
Yeah, so unfortunately, during the first couple previews of the show, Jonathan Larson, he started, experiencing some medical pains and issues, and shortly after, he did pass. So unfortunately, he was not able to see the final kind of performance, the full show that we know and see now. But yeah, it was around the first preview performance, if I'm remembering correctly, that all this happened, which is
that just has to be so tough. I know the cast of Company, had to learn that Stephen Sondheim had passed away as they were getting to go on. Maybe that was opening for them as they were getting ready to go on. I just don't know as a performer how, when you've worked with somebody that closely and who's so integral, how you go on. But I guess you do it for them, and you dedicate it to their work and role. Catherine, given again the connection of your character to so many people here, talk about the relationships between the players, certainly you guys involved here, but just relationship is really critical in this show and the way the different relationships are played through.
Yeah. So obviously we are neighbors, and Mimi
You live
often
downstairs, right? Aren't these guys upstairs? You're downstairs?
I am often exploring the area, making friends, just very adventurous, extrovert. So we talked about this a little bit in rehearsal yesterday, how when she goes and visits, she oftentimes sees Mark because Mark is the one that's leaving the building all the time as well. Roger's way more reserved. He stays at home with his guitar. He's not leaving, very depressed. And so Mimi comes to ask for a lighter, runs into Roger, obviously. There's a romance that builds there, and she's like, "Who's this mysterious man who lives near me? I want to know more about him." And so then their friendship grows and their romance grows as well.
And we say, he looks like this friend of mine, Danny Zuko, from years ago. Well, weave in those past roles, Roberto. There's no reason not to do that. And Stephen, since you sort of narrate this show, one of the things that has to be in your mind is the notion of how the characters have to cope with loss, with the uncertainty of all the issues. So can you kind of speak to that? I'm bringing these questions to the ones I'm bringing it to is because I'm assuming as part of your preparation for the role and getting into it, you have to ponder some of this stuff, I would think.
You do, and Mark kind of has his own journey with loss and with grief, in that he struggles with the fact that he is healthy. Like, he is the one person who he can safely say is going to survive this AIDS pandemic. And he, as the show goes on and he finds this family, suddenly they start going in separate ways as they struggle to deal with this, as people die, as people say, you know what? No, I'm out. I need to go somewhere else. And he's left alone to kind of pick up the pieces, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. He doesn't know how to be the one person to pick it up. And that's where his art comes in, and that's where a little bit of a slap on the back from Roger to say, "Oh, you poor baby, you're the one to live. Oh no." Well, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not so bad, but it is grief. It's a form of grief.
Oh yeah. Roberto, why, again, the show set in the 90s, we're decades beyond that. Life is different today. We have different problems today, with some overlap. Why do you think this show resonates with people today? I mean, some could look and say, and it's just so, it's so dated, whatever, but it doesn't play that way.
Well, as you said, we are fortunate that medical advances have gone a good way and have helped people in that way. But unfortunately, people are still fighting with other issues that are being presented in the show, with just being able to be themselves and being represented in a way that they're being seen by everyone and respected and included. So today, it's still very relevant because everyone can identify with a character in the show and see themselves on stage and see what these characters are fighting for and how they, live their lives. So it's still to this day very relevant.
And I'm so glad you took that road to answering the question, because Travis, it sends me to you, which is to say, so you're the director. Before you start playing with these folks, you have to sit down and decide, perhaps along with others, but what's the vision of this show going to be? So I'm curious, did you start off by saying, we got a story from the 90s and let's tell it like it's the 90s? Or did you sit down and say, we have a story with messages that resonate today and we're going to, I don't know how, tweak it, modify it so people who sit in the audience, young people who sit in the audience today, get it.
Yeah, I think it's honestly it's kind of a bridge of both. We are still keeping it like historically the time that it's set. We're keeping it true to those scenes and everything. But during like our first rehearsal, I kind of talked to the cast and I let them know, we are living in 2025. It is kind of a different world, but again, a lot of these themes are still relevant. One of the big overarching themes of this show, kind of what Catherine was talking about earlier, is protest in its many, many forms, whether that is loud and vocal, whether that's happiness as protest, and those that's universal. We just this past weekend had the largest protests and demonstrations in our country's history. We're still protesting to this day and still fighting for a lot of the things that these characters are fighting for. And while the fight may look a little bit different, that is going to allow our cast as well as our audiences of today's time to kind of be able to see that and reflect on how it's being shown in their personal life day to day.
Can you? I'm going to come back to that, because what you said wants to send me to Stephen as our narrator. What Travis just said is so true. People protesting now always have, always will. Do you have a sense when in this play and stuff, the notion of protesting, whatever, do you think people of a certain age, of the people who lived back then, people who are living today, do you think people think protesting, does it matter? Are you making a difference? Is it just a struggle against, do we still say the man? I don't know. But there was a time you would say struggle against the man. But is it still a struggle that one can't overcome? Does any of this make a difference? How do you think that Mark, Roger, how do you think they saw it?
I think you have to hope that what the things that you're doing are making a difference. And even if it's not making a difference, even if you can't see a difference on the large scale, the places that you are, the places that is are your community and your individual spheres of people, that makes a difference to that person. If you're not moving an entire nation to make change, you may be moving your block. You may be moving your town to start making changes. Baby steps are still steps. We're going to take it slowly moving.
Catherine, talk a little bit about how you get into the mind, because your character, I mean, everybody is different from your characters, but I'm going to guess that your character, Mimi, is quite a far from who you really are in the real. So what do you do? How do you, did you go to clubs? I mean, what do you do to kind of get in the mindset to play this role? Well, there are people, right, who, method actors will go do in strange things. What did you do?
Yeah, no, I'm not doing drugs. But she is a drug addict.
Good to hear that we're recording this, so yeah.
Yeah, she's a coke and a heroin addict. So I have watched a lot of YouTube videos on what that feels like, what that looks like recovering addicts and how they have handled with that. Because she has done heroin multiple times in this. And so, unfortunately, a part of that is like, a lot of working on the physicality, what that looks like, to need a fix, to constantly be chasing something. And then when she finds this love, it becomes a balance of, oh, what's more important, this chasing of the drugs or the chasing of this love feeling that's also just as fulfilling to her?
Roberto, I would argue if Jonathan Larson had known he was ill, he did not know, and his family didn't know, and it did lead to a $250 million lawsuit and lots of other issues. So that was down the line. But I think had he known he was ill with the possibility of passing away so young, that it might have been that Roger might have been the character he based himself off of, just because you could make some parallels there. So I'm sort of curious for you in that role, did you make that same tie, and or who did you look to, perhaps from that period or others, that you think Jonathan Larson might have been using to model the role of Roger? Somebody who wanted to make it big before they left this planet at a young age.
Well, it goes back to what Stephen was saying about, trying to leave that impact and do something fulfilling with your life. And I think that's what Roger is trying to do with these last few moments that he's alive, just trying to leave his mark behind. But what I guess, I don't know if Jonathan necessarily missioned someone for Roger. I think it, like you said, it's more about him and the mark he was trying to leave behind with this message and this music, 'cause there's so many aspects of the story and the music itself that just stay with you. And just like Roger, it's that one great song and this one great show that he left behind that even if he didn't intend it to, it stays with us and is with us, and that's why we're performing the show.
I'm sort of curious, Catherine. I sometimes wonder whether, having just seen the Bob Dylan movie recently and all that, I'm guessing maybe you have as well, but you sort of wonder whether these protest performers, back at, from his day, from the 60s and whatever, the Joan Baezes, the Bob Dylans, Peter, Paul, and Mary, they were protest performers as well, lots to complain about in society. Do you get a sense that this show, that maybe Jonathan Larson, he was certainly old enough to have seen all of that, do you get a sense that this show was meant to be in the tradition of classic protest efforts and send a message in that way? Or do you think it was just intended to be art?
Yeah, I definitely think a little bit of both. I think, like we've talked about already, the repeat of history, the repeat of protests. I think he's definitely trying to honor the past, the Bob Dylans, et cetera. But I think also, just like in Jonathan Larson fashion, art is free. So he's going to, and the way Jonathan Larson's brain works, he's so all over the place. We see that in a lot of our music. So I think he definitely like takes that, runs with it, goes a little bit all over the place with it.
So just a prep question. I think everybody knows, you should know, not you, just people should know, that this is the inspiration for this show, of course, is La Boheme. By show of hands, how many of you have seen La Boheme? Was that part of anybody's prep to see some version of our director did that? Our performers did not. But I'm sort of curious, and I'm going to say, Travis, I think we have lost your sound, but I'm going to try one more time to see if we get you back, and I'll try this question. But if not, well, that's life. I'm sort of curious as to whether you can tell us a bit of how Rent compares to its inspiration of La Boheme. What changes get made to make this more relevant in the 90s?
Yeah,
Thank you.
I think it's more so there are the overall like kind of plot elements that there are similar things in there of just sort of the kind of stock characters that have now been expanded into Mark, Mimi, Roger, the characters that we see in the show. And there are kind of similar relationships that they have, but it does have a very kind of different, more contemporary feel to it than the source material.
Yeah, and great source material. Final question for everybody. Let's have a little fun. But Stephen, so for your friends who come, not because they're your friends, but people of your age who come, and or your parents come, whatever, what do you expect people to take? I'll have everybody kind of give me this, your thought on this. What do you want people to leave the show with? What do you expect them to leave the show with? And I'm giving you those generational differences. Will your parents leave the show the same way your friends will leave the show?
Well, I hope my parents leave the show saying, "Wow, that's Steven. He was real great at that."
In
But
fact, was anybody else in it? I don't know.
I don't know. It didn't matter at that point. No, I hope people are going to leave this show and they're gonna look at the people next to them and say, this family and either their individual families or the families that they chose, that they're important to them, and you gotta love them while you have the chance, because you never know, you might not get that chance down the road.
Very true. Catherine, aside from your parents asking you if you need help after the show, for all the addictions and things that you demonstrate, but assuming they go, oh no, she's playing a role. What do you think that, I mean, are you concerned at all about the message young people might take from this portrayal, or do they get it? And again, then the older generation.
Yeah, so my mom's definitely going to be sobbing because this is my first show back in, obviously, you know, I graduated from Loyola. I'm performing with one of my best friends ever, Cameron, who is playing Angel, and we both met at this high school and we never got to perform in this theater before graduating. They built this theater. So it's very extra special to me in that way. As far as what we're going to take from the show, the older generation versus the newer generation, I think that because of how fast-paced it is hard to get everything in one sitting. It's one of those shows that you could watch over and over again and get something new every time. I think that one of the most important things that the newer generation really agrees with, and I hope the older generation will see as well, is that like the life of an artist is not easy and it's not as selfish as people think it is. I think a lot of people are think of artists as like, you know, they're just doing this for themselves, like it's their passion, whatever. But it really does help. It brings community. It helps so many people with mental health. It's such an expression of freedom and it's so inspiring. And like in a time when things can feel so divided, art brings us together in ways that other things can't. So I
Your
think
parents won't be crying because Stephen was so amazing.
that too.
All right. Yes.
Now, Roberto, by the way, I have to share this Grease story with Roberto. So I collect out of props, Broadway props. I've got Lin-Manuel Miranda's original boots from Hamilton and Ben Platt's cast from Dervin Hansen, all sorts of things. But one of the things I have is a jacket from Grease signed by John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. The reason I tell you that story is because I kind of keep it on my couch in a room where I display things. And so back when I was doing Zoom calls on the morning show, and I had to do my pieces from home and stuff like that. Some of the viewers are watching, and viewers don't pay attention to you. They want us, everything around you is what they're paying attention to. And so during, if you watch our morning show, they do viewer mail segments, and somebody wrote in and said, "Why does Paul Lisnik have that jacket draped over his couch? Why doesn't he hang his things up?" And so the anchor sort of said, "All I know is he collects things, and it's probably something." And indeed, it is the jacket from Grease, and so that was good. So since you're our Grease alum, I want to ask you, number one, will we be getting the Danny Zuko hairdo for this? But number two, talk to me about the difference between how the generations and what would they be coming up to you going, "Why aren't we hearing Summer Lovin'? I'm missing that song." Talk to me about what the difference in reactions you're going to get. Am I the only one still talking about Grease in your life anymore? I guess.
Well, Paul, I did my hair today just for you in this
It is
image.
kind of a Zuko thing. That's what got me. Yeah.
But I don't think the hair will make an appearance. There will be potentially a leather jacket, I believe.
Right.
So you might see a leather
You want to
jacket.
borrow mine? It's a bit
Yeah.
of homage that can come into the show if you think about it.
But both roles, Danny and Roger, are completely different. It's weird playing such roles that are iconic because I'm able to just put myself in those shoes and try to stay away from the John Travolta or the Anna Paschal and bring something different, which is what Travis really wanted us to do with this piece. He didn't want us to, bring back to life what the iconic original members of this piece did, but try to put ourselves into these roles. And I think each one of us is bringing our own selves into this. And hopefully, the people that are coming to see the show see what each of us are bringing new to this piece and bring a different life to it.
So what I
So.
love about that is that's all as performers, you all have your personal missions and goals of what's going on. Travis, I think I just come to you as a director at a broader concept. By the way, I sometimes lend things to Highland Park players. When you did Kinky Boots at Highland Park, I have a Kinky Boots from the show signed by the cast and Jerry Miller. So they Jerry Mitchell, and so they put it on display for the run of the show, which was kind of nice. They assigned Jacob to monitor it the entire run. But anyway, Travis, obviously in the selection of the show, the creation of the show, you want? You want audiences to come in for? Who do you think is showing up? Younger people, older people, and what do you want them to walk away? Because after the show is many decades old, my guess is as a director, you want your imprint on this. So what do you want when I come see the show? What do you want me thinking when I walk out?
Yeah, anytime I direct a piece, my goal is to always it's the why am I doing this now? I don't want to do what's been done before. And what's been done before is great, but I want our version of the show. So especially when it came to casting this show, I really wanted people that were bringing their own authentic selves into the characters, showing something new, something that was really true and authentic to their relationship to that character, as well as the characters that they were singing with, and just kind of building that authenticity. So that's something that I'm really, really striving for is I don't want audiences who are familiar with the show to come in and say, wow, you know, that Mark, he was just like Anthony Rapp. That was so good. Anthony Rapp is great. And he was the role for the reason, but that's their production and this is our production. So I definitely want audiences to kind of take that with them to, you know, if you have seen the show before, come into it with kind of fresh eyes and an open mind that, you know, certain aspects of characters that you may be super familiar with and think it might be a little bit different, and that's okay. And for the newer generation that doesn't know this show, come in really, really excited to learn honestly a piece of musical theater history at this point, with how important Rent has become to the whole musical theater canon. It really helped build out what you hear now with contemporary musical theater, with that kind of gritty rock sound that you're hearing a lot of shows. Rent really helped kind of pave the way for that. So it's just a really cool opportunity to have to share that with, you know, older audiences that are familiar with the show, as well as newer audiences that may not know it as well.
Yeah, it's so great. Well, actually, just you see, I was going to call Anthony on my phone, have him listen to the shows that went on. I won't do that now. That's not fair. I actually was supposed to interview Adam Pascal not too long ago. I was going to call him for you, but he forgot, so that never happened. But anyway, that's right. And you wonder why I try to be sure I can reach you at recording time. Anyway, I'm just really looking forward to this show. I'll be honest, I haven't seen it in a very long time, so it's going to be good to get back in. Will there be signs up telling audience members like me to please not sing along?
We'll talk to Jacob in Highland Park, see if we got to
get there. Yeah, okay, because, you know, Wicked, that was necessary, right? I mean, that's in the movie. And so it could happen in Rent as well. And I can think of some people I know who will be there who you will have to say to please don't. But anyway, I can't wait to see you guys perform. It's going to be fantastic. Rent by the Highland Park Players at the McGrath Performing Arts Center in Wilmette. Again, it's only July 18th to 20th. I've been complaining for years why you guys don't have longer runs, but it is what it is. So you've got 2 weekends to see it, so don't miss it. Great facility. You sell like Carol's Cookies and different things out at the desk. Really good during the intermission to go out and get some snacks in case they don't let you out. And tickets can be gotten at highlandparkplayers.org. Thank you all for spending some time with me. I really appreciate it. Break legs, as they say. I look forward to seeing you, and thanks for being with me.
Thank you.
And thanks for everybody for watching us here on the extended bonus version of Paul Listening Behind the Curtain. We'll see you next time.